Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
dismounted as the floating palace neared her European port. Having crossed from New York to Bishop's Rock off the English coast in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes, the liner United States established a new Atlantic speed record, July 6, 1952. Cheering crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the Blue Riband of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. Big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon and welcome to America's Disabled Veterans in Action. I'm Dr. George Anderson and this is ADVIA.media. This afternoon I am on the road and Marilyn's in the studio. Marilyn, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Dr. George.
Good afternoon. Let me do just the general housekeeping and I'll turn it over to you. We are asking everybody to please check out the Conservancy for the SS United States. Check out the website www.ssusc.org. Also, remember to give to ADVIA.media. That being said, our Brooklyn Navy Yard lines are now open at 347-884-8078,
347-884-8078.
Marilyn, what you got for us?
I have different things for us today. I already have three callers online. Before I bring them in, I would like to let you know that we lost another comrade, Vietnam veteran, battle with cancer yesterday morning. His name is Avin Webster, and he was a Vietnam veteran. Sadly, dishonorable veteran out of Vietnam. He didn't get to come back to the States, and they disarmed and discharged him. They did him right there in combat. And today's day, we're still trying to fight for his upgrade, which we've been fighting for 2 years, 2 or 3 years now. And they gave him his combat infantry badge, but would not upgrade. I tried to go through the D.C. Department of Veterans Affairs, but of course I hit a brick wall. They wouldn't help me. They referred me neighborhood legal research. But they told me they didn't have they wasn't accepting any more veterans. January, attempted to explain to them this gentleman may not even have 2 weeks. but that went fell on deaf ears. And for those of you who do not know, D.C. Department of Affairs Resource Center, not an agency that comes out and actually work with the veterans. They are a resource center. You call them for services, they refer you to district government services. We don't need no more of those type of agencies in District of Columbia. But that's what they are. They're referral services. They cannot, I don't have nothing positive to say about them, but I feel that they will not assist the District of Columbia resident veterans. And I'm really kind of irritated with them because Ms. Tammy is the new director, and she's going to tell me to go to legislation. Well, we don't even have a voice in legislation, so how are we going to go there? We don't even have representation, so I look stupid going to them. But she's there, and I feel like it's something that she should, if that's what the case is, then you need to explain to all of us instead of shutting the door in our face and continuously telling us you can't help us. That gets old after a while. So I have no patience with them, and I'm just so sorry that they didn't come forth to help this particular D.C. resident veteran, Vietnam veteran, before now. So, of course, I have nothing positive to say about that office. You know, I think Mary Bowser, she needs to rethink her role as if she's really trying to help us D.C. veterans. That's just me. So, I mean, enough is enough. And so I just wanted to give my condolences to our fallen good friend of mine, Alvin Webster, who was a Vietnam combat veteran. So, and thank you all for letting me share. But we do have callers waiting on the line. What was you going to say, Dr. George?
No, I said absolutely, you know. So all I can tell you is that it's a damn shame. This is not just a problem that affects D.C. What is affecting us nationwide as a community of veterans, you would think that the resources would be more readily available, but what has actually happened, the bureaucracy is using it for other things and not putting it to use where it's most needed for the veterans. They want to put it for socials and telling them about the information, but when it actually comes to getting the services, it's just not there. And this is why ADVIA speaks up so vocally about this type of madness.
And that is the most irritating thing. D.C. Department of Veterans Affairs have an advisory committee, and I spoke to one of the members. I can't think of his name. But he tells me we're just to advise. I said, well, who are you advising? Well, we're advising the Veterans Affairs Office of D.C. I said, they don't need no advising. What y'all should be doing is getting out, get involved with the veterans, talk to us, find out what our issues is, and go and help get our issues taken. That's a government agency. And like I said, ain't nothing on that board but a lot of well-to-do folks, so they don't really...
They're not interested in helping anybody except themselves, and you know, because some people when they make it, that's all they're worried about. They ain't worried about nobody else.
Yeah, but also instead of advising the government, you know, work together. But that's not going to happen anyway. Want to get to the show tonight because we have these people online.
Yes. So, okay. All right.
301-227
number.
Are you on the air?
Oh, is it 227-0804?
No, I don't give your number out on the air.
I'm sorry.
But that's the number.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just calling about what happened to me. I was a veteran, and I was evaluated at 70%. I was given unemployability. Hello?
Tiffany, can I please let everybody say hi before we get to your story? I was just trying to make sure you were still on the line.
I'm sorry.
We have like callers, and I was trying to get everybody to say hi or whatever, and then we could come back to your story and go down like that. But I just want to get the other two to say something, hi or good afternoon or something like that. Because we have a 937 number. 937-610. We have that number. Is that person still on the line?
Yes, I am still on the line.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Merlin.
What's
your name? Okay. And we're going to come back to you. We just want everybody to at least say good evening, or if they want to say where they're from or whatever, that's fine, too. We have a 301. Hello. Huh?
I'm with a group of veterans. I'm with a group of veterans listening to this show.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody in the group want to say hi?
Good evening. Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
I heard. Okay, and we have 301-523 on the air. Would you like to say hi or something, sir?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Marilyn. This is Richard. Hello, Marilyn. Hello, doctor.
Hey.
What's the doctor's last name, please?
Anderson.
Anderson?
Yes,
sir.
Okay, I'm just trying to say good evening, Dr. Anderson and Marilyn. This is Richard. I'm going to be listening in, and I may comment depending on the topic. Thank you.
We thank you for listening.
Well, welcome.
We're going to go back to the 301-2277 caller.
Yeah, my name's Renee. I just wanted to let you know that I was able to get 100% evaluation thanks to you. I'm not 100% rating, but 100% evaluation, and I was able to get a DOD card, and I thank you, Marilyn. And I wanted to let you know that I had 70% rating, and I got unemployability. And every so often, the VA will send you a form, VA form 214140, and that will ask you, are you not working? And you have to fill it out. And if you don't fill it out within 60 days, that can affect your pay. And I just wanted to let you know, thank you for everything. I'm able to go to commissary. I was able to get my property taxes. I didn't have to pay Maryland property taxes. I was able to get a refund for the last 3 years. Woo! Thank you, and Colonel, the Colonel, I can't think of his name, Colonel Hart. Thank you, and Colonel Hart, and I really appreciate you. So that's all I want to say, Marilyn.
Okay,
and,
before you...
thanks for your podcast, and thank the Dr. Jordan, Anderson Jordan.
Hey, Renee.
Yes, ma'am.
This is why we have to put in the increase. Remember we met at the seminar, and I was saying that we still have to do an increase to get you up to the...
I plan to see you tomorrow, Marilyn. You said you're going to be there at 10 o'clock. I plan to be there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
All righty. Now, for the rest of the listeners to just hear what Ms. Renee said, if when you're at 100% unemployability, you can receive, reevaluation. A lot of times they want to know: have you returned to work? Are you still listed unable to work? They'll also, unbeknownst to Ms. Renee, they will also talk to her VA doctors too. And the only way hers will not continue to be reevaluated unless she gets the letter that says that there will be no more evaluations. Yes, but you can get unemployable permanent total. But from listening to hers, her unemployability, I don't on the air or not, but her unemployability must not have been permanent total, but she still was able to get the tax break. So I don't know who, I don't know really how it works in Maryland. I don't know. But
I have a question.
Yes.
Regarding the statement regarding the unemployability and the 100% rating, congratulations, young lady. When I got my 100% rating, it was neither unemployability or permanent total, but within 60 days after receiving the rating of 100%, I submitted a claim asking for it to be made permanent and total. And with that rating, the veteran can also be able to work if he or she so desires.
Let me finish. You cannot work. Yeah, because you're getting false information, but go ahead on.
Okay.
Go ahead on.
Okay.
I'll let you get no false information there. You can forget that.
But I'm not giving out false information. I'm trying
to
disseminate the difference between the unemployability rating and 100%, trade 100% rating. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about anyone else.
Yeah, well, no, because what happens to you, sir, does affect the other veterans in your situation. So you are talking about all veterans. It's not just about you.
Well, but when you say I was wrong, what was I wrong about?
Well, you got it confused because, you said when you got your 100%, after 60 days, your 100% was 100% for unemployability, am I correct?
No, that's not correct at all. I never had a rating for unemployability. I never asked for unemployability. So when I received my 100% rating, I was 0%. And then after my CMP and after the evaluation and the process, I was rated at 100%. And my letter said within the next 2 years, you may have to come back into the VA for a reexamination to see if your condition had worsened. And so to not have to go back in for any more physicals, I filed a claim to have my 100% rating deemed permanent and total, and I was granted that. I did that after 60 days with the 100% rating, and within 6 to 8 months I received that 100% rating deemed permanent and total, which means I had to no longer go in for physical examinations periodically.
Okay, so what were you saying about the unemployability? You confused me.
Okay, what I was saying was that the unemployability rating I did not have. With unemployability, you can't work is what I was going to say. But with 100% rating permanent and total, or a straight 100% rating, you still can work if you so desire.
That's what I just said. But I was trying to distinguish the two. Because a lot of veterans think because they get the 100% unemployability, doesn't really read into it to know that you cannot get a job. A lot of veterans they look at the 100% aspect of it, not looking at the unemployability side.
Okay.
That's when we got confused, and I apologize, but it just seemed like you were saying that. I thought I heard you say you can work, but we were saying the same thing, but you had it combined in a way that I got confused, and I apologize for that. But
that's why we're here to keep you confused.
Huh?
I said that's why we do it. That's why we're working as a team, so we can make sure this information stays on the floor, to make sure this information comes across clear. No, I wasn't. You know, I can be corrected now. Don't think I'm gonna say something wrong. I am capable of making a mistake, saying something wrong.
But the way you explain that one, where we all understand, he's correct as far as being 100% regular, There's 100% permanent total, 100% regular or scheduled, as the VA call it, 100% scheduled is the terminology veterans affairs use. Then you have 100% under unemployable. 100% unemployable, you cannot work of no circumstances. Sometimes at 100%, you can be rated unemployable, you can be rated permanent total at the time of your rating of 100% for unemployable. They also, with this young lady, and I don't understand how she got on the tax breaks if she's still going for rewrite. That I don't understand. But unemployability can also, you can be reevaluated every year. They'll reevaluate if you are still considered unemployable. And schedule is what I have, 100% schedule. I can still go get a job if I want to. If you're 100%, which I'm 100% scheduled, permanent, and total, I can get a job if I wish to. I can go to school if I wish to. Then sometimes both rehab and going to school will get you caught up. The counselors, those daring counselors in the voc rehab can be very outrageous. So they can make a big issue and mess up your 100% disability rating. And they treacherous, but they can do some things and say some things, and then you may not. Your 100% may be decreased, or you may not be able to go to rehab under 100% because of whatever the counselor says. Am I saying this right, Richard?
Yeah, you said exactly right. And I'd like to chime in. I will be making another point regarding the unemployability rating. So, for example, I understand that if a veteran is rated 70%, then
we can hold it.
Huh?
I can't hardly hear you.
Oh, you're breaking up.
Thank you for, I didn't realize that. So what I was going to say was that if a veteran is rated at 100% and that veteran decides for themselves that they can no longer work, then they can file a claim to the VA, asking the VA to pay them at the 100% rate. And that means that you're going to say that you're taking unemployability. So if you have a 70% rating and you say, I want unemployability, the VA will pay you at the 100% rate, but you cannot work. So that unemployability starts at 70%.
Right.
And it could still be the same for an 80% rating, a 90% rating, you know. And, of course, a 100% rating, you know, is a 100% rating. So the benefit of unemployability is if a veteran is rated at 70, 80, or 90%, they can be paid at the 100% rate by saying, I want to be unemployability.
But they
is that
can't,
correct?
But what it comes back to haunt them, some of them, when they say, oh, well, I want to go to voc rehab, and then, see, voc rehab is a program designed to train you and put you back in the workforce. That's the only purpose of voc rehab. So when you
that's
say
true, I agree. And that's the trade-off that a veteran has to make. You know, that's the trade-off a veteran has to make, you know, when they make that decision for unemployability.
Okay. Does anybody else want to weigh in on this conversation or make any comments or join in, say anything?
Okay, I was told that you can work for the VA. It's called CWT, something about therapy. And
yeah,
you can get your unemployability and work for the VA with this therapy program. I don't know if that's true.
That is true.
But the unemployability, And the thing I was evaluated at 100%. I'm not 100% veteran. I'm only 70% in unemployability. I was evaluated at 100%. I was told to go down to our local regional office on I Street, 1722 I Street, a letter saying that I could get commissary privileges and have all the privileges as a DOD veteran. That's what I have in my possession. That's all I'm saying. And I was just trying to let you know.
Okay, but you are 100% veteran.
No, I'm 70% in unemployability. I was told to go to I Street, 1722 I Street, and get a letter saying that I was evaluated at 100%. I'm not 100%. I'm 70 in unemployability.
Ma'am, you are 100%. You are 100% veteran under unemployable. So 70%.
Okay.
One thing, but you are 100% veteran. You are rated and considered 100% veteran under unemployability. So, yes, you are considered 100%.
Okay, on my letter,
but
it just says 100% evaluated.
Yeah, it's the scheduled 100%.
Okay.
When you get it, when you have it, when you're given the rating of 70% and you get the unemployable, it's called the scheduled 100%. So you do get the 100%. You're not fully 100%, but you're counted as 100% because of the unemployability.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor.
Dr. George, she's not considered a scheduled 100%. She's only 100%. No, sir. She's only 100% because she's 100% under unemployability. Now, me, I'm 100% under schedule, so I can get a job.
That's what they are, see?
And she's 100% under unemployability, so she is considered 100% veteran. That 70% is nothing now. She's only considered 100% at unemployability. 70 is there, but she's 100%. That are unemployable. And if she was not considered an 100% veteran, she would not be getting commissary privilege. She is 100% veteran, 70%. She's no longer 70%. Her base rating would be, but because she's becoming, because of her unemployability status, that makes her 100% veteran. So she's 100% veteran under unemployability. So, yes, she is 100% veteran.
Okay. Okay.
I don't
know
what she's there, but if she, really, if she was not 100%, considered 100% veteran, she would not be getting the privileges she gets.
Right.
Even if she's 100% unemployable veteran, that's to make the difference. That's how she's 100%.
See.
What she can do and what I suggest anybody who is 100% under unemployable, always continue to request for the increase for the 70% itself to go to 100%. So that she can be 100%.
That's why I'm going to see you tomorrow to get the increase, because I want to be a 200%. I don't want to be this evaluated 100%. I want to be like you are, Marilyn, a true 100%.
You are a true 100%, but it's under unemployability.
I don't want to be under unemployability. I want to be 100%. That's why I'm coming to you tomorrow for the increase, to try to get the increase.
What makes her under, like I say, I don't know how she got the privileges or not. I don't know how she got them because she's supposed to be permanent in total. So she's not permanent in total she might be after she sends this letter in. Right now,
right,
she's not 100% permanent in total under unemployability.
Marilyn.
She's got the break.
Say it again.
Huh?
Can you repeat that?
You used permanent and total in the same sentence with unemployability.
She's not permanent and total unemployability.
Oh, okay. I understand that.
The reason, what tells me she's not, because they send her, they're sending her paperwork to ask has she went back to work, has her condition, da 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 da.
Right, I agree.
Right there lets me know that they can still do back to 70%. If she goes and works part time at McDonald's or somewhere crazy like that, then they're gonna drop her 100%.
Can I make a statement, please, Marlon? Hello? Okay. Yeah, what the young lady was asking was, yeah, there is a program at the VA called Compensated Work Therapy. And if you work within that program, they'll give you what they call a stipend. And that does not account against employment. That's not like, that's not considered employment. That's considered work hardening.
And that's only, they saying now that's a 6-month program. I don't know how true it is. I've never had to go there.
Yes, it's typically a 6-month program, but you can get it renewed, or you know you can do, you know, do 6 months and then do it again, depending on the counselor. You know, it's all relative to the veteran's relationship to the counselor, in my opinion. At least it was for me.
I tell you what, if you have PTSD or mental problem, they'll kick you out of the program. What they're doing. They treat that CWT like it's a regular job. They do. They treat that thing like a regular. I've talked to a lot of veterans in that program, PCBA, and like it's a regular job.
Damn it!
So I don't. For me, I don't work for pay no way.
Hey, Marilyn.
Yes.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
All right. Last time we met. Well, are you going to be there tomorrow down at the church?
I am.
I'll be down in the mall.
Okay. Is this the 937 talking
to you?
Is this the person from the 937 number talking to me now?
Yes, it is. This is Kevin Bell.
Okay. Oh, okay. Do anybody in your crew have a question for me, Mr. Bell?
They said no. Y'all hitting it. I got a question for you.
Yes?
Come on.
He's talking to somebody else. Come on.
What paperwork should I bring?
Yeah, I don't even. I've met and sat with you. I don't know. I don't know why you're coming to see me tomorrow. So.
All right, I got it. Cause I got something, and I'll bring it. I got it. All right, that was a dumb question. All right, no question.
Just bring me that letter, any work that we've done, so that I can compare the two of what they're saying. And let me just say that she brought this up. Let me just change a little bit. If you are coming to see a counselor, representative, or whomever dealing with your VA compensation issues, bring all of your VA paper, especially the most recent. If you've been denied for a disability or compensation, injury, or whatever, it's very important to read the reason why you were denied. And that's the most important reason that you want to bring that to the service officer, counselor like myself, because if I can read exactly why you were denied for a claim or did not get an increase, then I know where I'm going. Then I know how to fight with them. Then I know how to come for the VA. And if you have a claim in for an increase, going to the doctors is not what they need for your increase. Going to the doctors, that's something you've been doing for more than 6 months or more than 1 year. So that should be always continued, because you need to be going to a doctor to continue your compensation benefits. That's a must. Because once you stop going, or you're going to a doctor that the VA is not aware of, then in the VA eyes, you're not receiving treatment for your compensation, and they will drop your compensation benefits. And if you're getting pension, they'll drop that too. So it's very important to continue to go to the doctor. But if you got putting an increase in for back pain, okay, and you're at 50%, you should be going to the emergency room like once, maybe three times a month, going to the walk-in clinic, ask to be put into physical therapy. All these things that you're doing shows that the condition has gotten worse. If you get a back brace, you wear that back brace on the outside of your shirt every time you go to the VA. If you're going to, I don't care what doctor you're going to see, whether you're going to see the eye doctor or the PTSD doctor, make sure you always wear your back brace. Any device that you have, wear it. Because when you go to ask for a clothing allotment and the VA does not have you a record of, if they don't, when you go in to see their doctor, they're automatically recording how you come in there. Veteran appeared to me back brace with his back brace on, clean, or maybe angry, or maybe dirty. They document all that. So when you're trying to file a claim for compensation for the devices, then when they go to review you to determine whether or not you can get that $700 a month for that particular device, $700 a year for you wearing that particular device or all four of your devices, which equal up to $2,800 a year, then they can say, well, okay, well, when he went to this appointment, when he went to the psychiatrist, he had it, they notated he had his back brace, his wrist support, bilateral knees, if that's what he had. He whatever the veteran had, they document. So they are show a pattern of you using the device. If you never wear these devices, then you're not using the device. So, no, you may not get compensated on those basis alone. That's why it's important to read why you've been denied for anything in this process. Any questions, comments?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Merlin, you really kicked a lot right there. You could that is the holy grail. You're right. I found out that this is the truth because of my real life issues, and there is veterans need to know that you have the VA. The VA is there to make life better for you.
Who's telling this lie?
Right?
Who's telling this lie?
It's for the American. It's for the American.
Who's telling this lie so I could come and punch him in the contacts when I see him again?
See that? I'm talking, I'm red, white, and blue.
You might be the middle one talking that crap. That may be, but that ain't always the case. I'm here to tell you for life. Don't tell me that what they're there for. Yeah, they are there to make your life better. And if you're a male veteran going to DCVA, they sure gonna make your life better. But if you're a female, you can forget it. You can forget it. And I'm not talking about what I heard. I'm talking about my experiences. Those are the only true facts that I got. So I don't know where you getting that one from. But anyway, any other reasonable questions, comments?
I got a comment. I just want to thank you and Colonel Hart again with Raymond Hart. Colonel Raymond Hart, girl, y'all made my life beautiful. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to continue to help you in that area because I'm 100% permanent total veteran scheduled. But see, I'm 100% for depression, major depressive disorder. I'm sick for asthma.
I'll see you tomorrow with all my paperwork.
Okay. And I got 60%. I went from 30% to 60% because I went to the ER at least 3 times out of the year. And I went 100 times, but I didn't know what the real requirement was. But my asthma was sending me there often than I want to be there. So just because I had went 3 times and they put me on prednisone or any steroids, I went from 30 to 60. So I got from 2015 back to 2008, I received $9,000 retroactive pay. Okay, that was in September. I just got another increase, a lump sum, another $9,000 because I went to 50% for aid and attendance. See, my aid and attendance is, I'm not bedridden. My aid and attendance is for my service-connected depression disability. So I got 50% for aid and attendance. And then when you read the requirements for aid and attendance, and it says, it always say that you have to be bedridden, basically. Well, you can get aid and attendance under psychiatric or mental disorder, too.
Can you get for post-traumatic stress disorder?
That's a mental disorder, yes.
That's well, we got to talk about that, too.
No, that's your question. This is what this is for. The doctor has to write an order or write a letter stating that you need an aid and somebody to live with you or assist you with daily living. At times, it's to be safety in doing daily living. I have to have someone with me. So I got mine. The psychiatrist wrote my letter.
Can I ask you a question? Did you get a dog for your disability?
I got my own dog. Trained my own dog myself. Got a letter from the psychiatrist and medical doctor which says that I need my service dog for major depression, for PTSD, high blood pressure, and type 2 diabetes. So my service dog is for. I went and got mine. I didn't go to these hero vet. I didn't do none of that. That stuff is too stressful. They put too much unnecessary stress on the veteran because it's bad enough that you're going through the PTSD and then you got to go through the of their rules and regulations. And the dog is not yours for 3 years. At least 3 years. You got to take them to training. For heroes, for pets, or hero dogs, whatever they're called, you got to go and train in every 6 months. I don't have time for that. I can't enjoy my dog because I got to take them back to you. Then I want to talk to one organization that.
Oh, and did the VA pay for the dog?
No. My dog was a gift.
Okay.
Hey, Carl, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you get one of those dogs, do you get extra money?
No. No, you do not. Something like this, not that I've heard of yet. If you get the dog,
Carl,
one of those hero dogs,
whatever, I see a lot of people at the VA with them. Does the VA give you money to feed that dog?
No, they do not.
No.
They do not give you money to groom, feed your dog. They can pay for, I believe it's up to 2 years of that. I believe that touch on that. Dr. George?
Yeah. Hello? Yeah.
Did you read anywhere that the VA pays for vet care and insurance?
There's some bill that was supposedly passed that they're supposed to, but the way to access it is so difficult that you have a very hard time trying to make that money.
Say again.
Because if you have a hard time trying to access the money, because you're given hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, keep talking.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
The fact of the matter is money
is given. Okay, no, you're breaking up now. You're
not given all the time. But you have to be given the dog supposedly by an approved organization. And then they will give it to you easily. But I don't know anyone, even those with approved organizations, that have service dogs that's getting that money.
I haven't known of anybody that got it yet. But like I said, when you go through those organizations, you know, it's just too stressful. I mean, the little money that they may give you, there's not no money that they give me for the dog anyway. They were covering, I believe, and it's up to 2 years. It's only 2 years of insurance coverage that I'm aware. I know it's 2 years of insurance coverage.
That's not a long time.
A veteran that was doing bad and he had a dog, I think a veteran should get some something for them to take care of them poor dogs. Because they always show them with them dogs, like they get dogs down and out. And I think a veteran's dog should be down and out. It should be the best damn dog America has wanted.
Yeah, it should be, but it's your responsibility for grooming, feeding your dog. And one of the
it costs a lot of money to keep a dog and a poor veteran will suffer having all those service dogs feeding.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's what I'm saying. They should
give a
couple of hundred dollars to put some dog food on the table.
No, it's not.
Homeless. They're probably homeless now. Feeding all these damn dogs.
But hey, check this out. You have some responsibility with your dog too, okay? You got responsibilities too with your dog, okay? It's yours, you do, and I mean, if they give you money toward feeding them, fine. If they don't, believe me, if a person loves their dog, they're gonna do what they can do to keep their dog. I would get rid of my dog for my dog. Say what?
One of the things that I didn't hear anything.
No,
one of the things
saying,
that I.
No.
Well, I would agree. I would agree. I would tend to agree. It would be nice if we could get the money that we're due, because the dogs are an additional expense. It's like whether you have the money or not, you should be caring for your dog. You know, because that's something that if you're using a service dog, that's something you need. And even without the insurance, there are resources sometimes available through other means.
Yeah.
You know, if you're lucky enough to have gotten it through some of the organizations, sometimes they have supportive services. But if not, you have to check in your community to see what services are available, because sometimes there may be services available.
If your dog is a service dog.
And see, the problem, I'm going to say this. The problem I have with this is I see people up at the VA with those dogs, walking those dogs. Some dogs got flags on them and everything. Their dogs are being treated like slaves. them damn dogs. Pay them dogs.
How do you know they're being treated like slaves? How do you know that?
Because they're getting them in the name of the government.
How do you know it's being treated like a
slave? With some dogs. And that's taken away from their thing. They doing it? What? I don't understand the dog thing.
What? What you say? What is it taken away from? Tell me that. What is it taken away from?
The quality of life for the veteran.
That's what the damn dog is.
I'm going to tell you now. A dog, as depressed as I am right now, and I got 100 dogs around me, it ain't going to bring you out of no depression.
You're lying there, buddy boy. You're lying there, buddy.
And if that dog is used by the government to make you feel better, that dog is working for the government. Somebody needs to feed that dog, be it the government.
No, it's not. That's incorrect. Maybe for you, the dog don't help you. My dog has saved life millions of times. I can talk to my damn dog and I can't talk to you. I can talk to you at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm suicidal about blowing my brains out. Can't talk to you. My dog loves me unconditionally. He's there to listen to me when you won't. So unless that may apply to you because you've around 100 dogs, and you probably don't care about dogs, but that's the number one problem. Now me, for child, I don't care about children. I don't want them around me. They don't help me. They get on my nerves. So if you want to compare something, because it doesn't help you none,
Marla, you know what? The dog is right here. I like the dog. It's something about the dog that don't interest you. Because you don't allow the dog. That's your problem. Don't get on here and talk that crazy shit.
Not to me. I have cats. Many a times I wanted to commit suicide. I had my cats. I don't have any two-legged children. You may have some of them. I don't have them. When I wanted to lay in the bed and do nothing, I had to get up and feed my cats, clean their litter. So,
and another thing about the dogs for depression.
And yeah, I got depression, PTSD, because them dogs around you probably ain't there one of them yours. And because they around you, whoever they with being around you, helps that person. Everybody find their help individualized. You might get help drinking and drugs, medicate. I'm going to get help from my dog. Whoever them people around you that have dogs, they're getting the help they need from their dog. You don't know how that dog may have changed.
The thing is, in the treatment of depression, the dogs are specific. You have to find what your need is in that depression. Mine was for the ability to get out of the house. You have to be able to get out of the house with the dog. I was having problems with isolating. This is back in 1994 when I was first prescribed a dog. So you need to look a little bit more closely before you say that it doesn't work for depression, because they do work for depression, and they do help you to offset it. But you have to have what it is that you need and train the dog accordingly.
Ask the people around you that have the dogs.
It sounds like a slave. Slave to me. I think those dogs, I mean, my ego as a man, a dog is my pet. A dog that's needed by me to conquer my depression is a man. Just like a canine dog at the police station. That's a needed dog to make me as a veteran feel better.
Okay, how does getting money from the VA make you feel? How does that make you feel?
Let's move on. Forget about
the
dog.
Well, we're almost at the end of the hour.
Yeah, so that's the same scenario, the dog and the VA money. You choose.
Watch the time, Marilyn. You have to get the hour.
Yes. Lord have mercy.
You didn't hear the marker. You're over.
Huh?
You didn't hear the marker. You're over. We're off the air.
We go. Okay. No, I mean, really, common sense. Look, common sense is common sense. Just that he don't like the dog. That's his problem. He liked the VA money. So the VA money helps him to do the things he needs to do. So do the dog help the disabled veteran. Dad was blind. Feel the same way.
Wow.
All right, I'm gone.
Okay, folks, we'll be back tomorrow, Friday, 2400 Zulu, and
right,
we'll see you then. Yeah,
right.
That's because we got sick. You didn't listen to the 90-second warning, but that's okay.
I did. I called 90-second warning, but I'm glad because I'm finished because he was really taking me out of my character, so I'm glad.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, we got it. We got it. We got through it, and that's the main thing.
Yeah. He talking about them damn dogs, and talking about this, that, and they don't help people. They may not help your monkey ass. You don't like dogs, so I expect you to feel that. I said, does the VA money help you? Hello. How do he know about me? When he comes tomorrow, I'm gonna eat his ass up again. He might make me put his ass out. All right, I'm gone. I'll talk to you later. I'm gonna go. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right.
I'll talk to you later. All right.
All right.